Hello, and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Nick Manise, standing in for Nolan Giles. Now, there are libraries of books dedicated to architecture, but how many offer a study of construction's relationship with the environment over the course of millennia? Architecture, From Prehistory to Climate Emergency, is a new book published by Penguin Random House. It looks at how, over the centuries, our access to energy sources such as fire, farming and fossil fuels have shaped buildings found across the globe. Monocle's Charlie Fillmore-Court caught up with the book's author and architecture historian Barnabas Calder to discuss what we can expect from the title and how it came to be.
I did a kind of back of the envelope calculation of what energy it cost to build the biggest of all ancient monuments, the Pyramid of Khufu, which is over 5 million tons of stone shaped and piled up in this orderly manner. The result completely shocked me. The enormous amount of labour that went into it, maybe 20,000 people working for 10 years, working very, very hard, pushing these very, very large blocks of rock up ramps to build the pyramid. Between them, all those tens of thousands of labourers and millions or billions of days of labour produced an amount of energy input that is, by contemporary standards, very small because human muscles are quite weak. So in contemporary terms, any seven modern Americans will in their lifetime, at current energy rate uses in the US, gets through more energy than it cost to build the Pyramid of Khufu. And that kind of level of change in our architecture and in our energy systems was so spectacular that I immediately started reading lots more about energy history and discovered that it was the biggest factor in shaping all human affairs and architecture first and foremost.
You know, in many ways, the story of architecture throughout history is often told in reference to, you know, styles and movements. What is the relationship between changing styles and changing energy sources?
It's enormously close and very complicated. There's lots of different aspects to it. But perhaps the most fundamental relationship is that between energy and material choices. So in areas with no natural stone, you have relatively difficult options in the times before fossil fuels. And a city like London, right up until the 17th century, was largely built of wood and straw and animal dung. And that's why it burnt so spectacularly quickly and devastatingly in 1666 with the Great Fire. Only after that, with fossil fuels, with cheap coal, were they able to rebuild it in brick. And so the Georgian style, for example, of housing arises very straightforwardly and very quickly from cheap coal and good available local clay and cheap glass becoming possible from the big windows. The styles of Gothic architecture are based on an energy system that allowed a small elite of landowners to have enormous power over a very cheap workforce of hungry people, which enabled them to build very large buildings over a very long period of time because there was a stability in agrarian energy systems a lot of the time that meant that you could foresee that you would have a lot of income every year for the following century, and you could therefore start a building the size of a Gothic cathedral. And the rest of the style of Gothic architecture is in large part an expression of the engineering realities of not very reinforced, not very metal reinforced stone being used to build as high and as wide as you can. These links are very close and between the social structures and the energy systems and the architecture.
Does this continue in the 20th century and even further along? I mean, there's an interesting part of the book which has three images of buildings all built by one architect in markedly different styles. Was there an acceleration in terms of, you know, the changing of styles as energy and technology advanced?
Definitely. The energy wealth of the 19th and 20th centuries was so enormous in Britain and other industrialized countries with good fossil fuel access that the rate of building went up, the amount of building went up, and the speed of each building went up. whereas a medieval mason might, for example, take an entire lifetime on two or three projects, moving from one to another as he became more senior, a 20th century architect could, as she or he progressed through their career, be working in lots of different styles, producing a small number of hundreds of buildings in which they'd had significant design input. Therefore, the speed of stylistic development goes up tremendously. You start to get oil and electricity making an enormous difference from the early 20th century. These are all things that produce revolutionary change very, very quickly. And that, I think, is where the modernist style comes from. In technical terms, modernism is just a continuation of Victorian architecture. But in stylistic terms, it's the result of a kind of sense that with things changing so much, so fast, it must get a distinctive look.
Keeping within this period, you do mention and write about quite a lot of problems in some buildings that, in your own words, are part of the canon of architectural history. One of those is the Bauhaus building in Dessau. Why do you think that their shortcomings in terms of, you know, efficiency and energy regulation are often overlooked?
They were wonderful, creative, brilliant responses to the conditions of their time. And a lot of the conditions of their time and a lot of their responses to those conditions are still very appealing. They were, by and large, trying to spread opportunity to people who'd had less of it. So they were egalitarian, they were optimistic, they were forward-looking, all of which are things that, values that I hope we cling on to, and that are, by and large, not typical values of 200 or 300 years earlier around most of the world, where agrarian regimes tend to be hierarchical and backward-looking. But the downside of them is that they were produced in response to a period of spectacular fossil fuel energy wealth, which at the time was guiltless. They didn't know the harm it was doing. But now that we know that our fossil fuel consumption is the biggest threat to quality of life and then presence of multicellular life on this planet, then they become extremely dangerous and problematic precedents. The very things they're celebrating, not only the operational cheap heating, but also the embodied energy of the materials that they glorify, concrete and steel and glass, all make them desperately bad models for contemporary architecture.
That was Barnabas Calder there speaking to Charlie Filmercourt. Architecture from Prehistory to Climate Emergency is published by Penguin Random House and available to purchase at all good bookstores now. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program airing on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time. Today's episode was produced by Maylie Evans. I'm Nick Manise. Thank you for listening and goodbye.